93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey are back to their bang average best.
Here's Pittman, laying it off. Brown in the box. Brown shot. Saved. Loose in the area. Close. Into the back of the net. And Portsmouth have taken the lead. Ben Close drilling it low and hard and into the net. Portsmouth may not deserve the lead, but they have it. Shrewsbury-0, Portsmouth 1.
The Shrews were the Blues' latest League One opponents, and Kenny Jackett's side certainly tamed the Shropshire outfit. Pompey made it 3 consecutive league wins on Saturday and also 2 clean sheets on the bounce. Could the recent run of good form be down to these two men in particular?
Pittman picks it up. Hawkins is going to drive into the area. Hawkins to Pittman. Pittman to win it. Pittman does just that. 2-0 to Portsmouth. Shrewsbury have shot themselves in the foot.
Ollie Hawkins and Brett Pittman proved too hot to handle for Shrewsbury. Could that be an exciting partnership prospect to take advantage of as we enter further into a crucial stage of the season? Let us know your thoughts back at home this evening. Start your text with the word Express, followed by your name and message back to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. We'll also be taking a little look ahead to Sunday's final. Who is the first name on the Wembley team sheet? And what are your early score predictions for the match? So stay tuned for the next 60 minutes or so. We're in for a busy programme tonight on Express FM. This is the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to Express FM for the latest instalment of the Monday Football Hour with myself, Jake Smith, in the space of James Robbins this evening. And of course, we remain proudly sponsored by our friends at Stagecoach Buses. They offer student day rider tickets at just £2.50 across the Portsmouth region. The Blues made it 3 wins on the bounce on Saturday afternoon with a 2-0 win over Shrewsbury. You could say that form is the perfect bit of momentum needed, not just going into the final stages of the league season, but also Sunday's all-important Chequered Trade Trophy final at Wembley as well. That's a game that the three of us here in the studio will be looking a little bit at later on in this evening show. But before we do go any further with the chat, let's go back to 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon. What actually was a brilliant game, not only for the Pompey fans, but as a neutral supporter of the game football too, as Manchester United forward Marcus Rashford and also former Derby County boss and Stoke City boss Gary Rowett found out in the stands on Saturday. But it's the opinions of another man that we are more interested in here at Express FM, and that is the tactical mastermind of Blues boss Kenny Jackett, who spoke to our colleague Andy Moon on the touchline after the game.
Kenny, a 2-0 win, 3 in a row now for you. What's your verdict on the match today?
Hard fought. I felt the first 20-25 really did belong to Shrewsbury. My keeper made one outstanding save in that period, and generally then they were on top, and I was wondering whether it was going to be our day, but we just changed things tactically and created a lot of chances then, let's say back end of the first half, got ourselves in front, which is always a key goal, the first goal, and now several more chances in the second half. I'm pleased to say, anyway, you know, it was an excellent reverse ball from Hawkins and good finish. You know, when Pittman's running in on that one, you feel every confidence that he's going to finish it, and it just took the game away from Shrewsbury then at 2-0 up.
What was your thinking behind that little rejig that really did alter the game in the first half?
I didn't think we were getting enough support up to Omar Bogle. I felt that maybe his pace would hurt them, but he didn't quite get into the game. Hawkins is a different type of player, and his hold-up play was excellent in the second half, but we needed to get Pittman slightly closer to the centre forward, and then Jamal Lowe over to his natural side, where, you know, he was more of a threat than when he was down the left side. So, you know, those two Those two changes just helped us get a foothold in the game. It took us 20-25 minutes to work that out when Shrewsbury caused us a lot of problems, but from there on in, you know, we battled very well and looked like scoring goals on the break, which proved to be the case.
Pittman and Hawkins haven't always had a telepathic understanding, but it was a nice link up for that second goal.
Yeah, very good link up, and I'm pleased to see that. And as I said, for Ollie, you know, he's had a good header at the back stick. The keeper's made an excellent save. He's had the one where he's hit the bar from, I think, Lee Brown's cross, and then, you know, played a key assist for Brett in the second goal, which, you know, just really sort of put the game to bed, I felt, and just quietened the stadium.
Did that feel like the way you were winning games in the first half of the season, with your defence stepping up when necessary and then you being clinical in front of goal?
Maybe that's the case. You have to find different ways of winning games throughout the season. You know, you're looking at the Walsall Barnsley game earlier in the day, and it was a great win for Barnsley, and you have to find out a way, because there's no sides necessarily out of it. There's no mid-table sides at the moment. Everybody's going for one end or the other, which is exciting, but it makes Shrewsbury away. And if you're looking at their recent home form, it's very, very good.
Three wins in a row, though, you're just finding form at the key point.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, as a manager, you try to keep the pressure on the top two, but obviously both of those won today, you know, we've won today and kept the pressure on them, but obviously it's one game less. After that, then you're looking at, you know, third and fourth spot, which gets you to the second game in the playoffs, and then, you know, beyond that, you're looking at the gap to seventh place to qualify for the playoffs. You know, they're the things that go through your mind at the end of the game.
You mentioned McGilvery's save, but also obviously Lee Brown with that incredible covering challenge when it looked like Shrewsbury were in early on.
Yeah, I thought probably he should have stayed with the runner first and shouldn't have given himself that sort of task to do.
We've mentioned the form, but now we're 2 weeks away from league action, and Wembley's your next game now, so you can start turning your thoughts towards it.
Yeah, definitely, it's a great one to look forward to, isn't it? You know, we've come through seven games, so, you know, to get there is many different types of games as well, so it's a good achievement to get there. But similarly, we don't want to go there and make the numbers up. We want to win. You know, we have to concentrate, we have to work hard. You know, words like occasion and things like that, they can't be in our vocabulary. You know, we'll treat it like a normal away game, and we'll do everything we can to focus and try to win the competition.
Just finally, in terms of form, the way your players are playing, the situation, how well set are you for the run in now?
Yeah, we hope we can keep the pressure on the top two, and as I said, you know, beyond that, third or fourth spot. Beyond that, seventh, and you know, if any of those scenarios come off, we want to finish strongly, and if it is the playoffs, go in there in good form with confidence.
Kenny Jackett there speaking to commentator Andy Moon after Saturday's win over Shrewsbury. Pompey made it three league wins in a row and also two clean sheets on the trot. And this evening, we have some guests whose views are now ready to be broadcast. First of all, to my left, Pompey News Now blogger Sam Stone. A very good evening to you.
Hi, Jake. Thanks for having me on again.
No problem. Welcome back to the show, Sam. And alongside Sam tonight, making his Football Hour debut, James Catlin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jake. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming in as well. And James, I'll get started with you this evening. I'll introduce King Kenny there as a tactical mastermind following that third league win on the trot. And I'll say that really because really of the change that he made in the second half of the game. Ollie Hawkins coming on for Omar Bogle, who, despite starting life down south pretty well with a decent early goal scoring record, just couldn't get into Saturday's game. And it just wasn't his day. James, how much of an impact do you think Ollie Hawkins makes, not only to Saturday's game, but throughout the season as well?
I'm a big fan of Ollie in general. I feel like he holds the ball up well. I know a lot of players don't like, a lot of the fans don't like the way we play when he's on the pitch. But it, as a whole, as a player in general, when he's up front, we seem to get the results. Mm. And as a whole, I really like him as a player. I think he's great holding the ball up, bringing it down. He's always on the end of the balls as well. When we do go long, he's always seems the one that seems to be up there, heading it on. And I think he works really well with Jamal, and especially when Ronan plays as well. I think the three of them work absolutely incredible together.
Yeah, he might not score a lot of goals, Sam, and, you know, perhaps less than we'd like, you know, from a striker.
Yeah.
But like James said, he brings a lot to the game, and he, most importantly, brings in the players around him to succeed. And at the end of the day, as a Pompey fan, I think you'd rather get the results than an individual getting goals, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, he's the first half of the season is what we kind of built our team around. Yeah. The wingers, Curtis and Lowe, they were thriving off Ollie's flick-ons, and it was working. I mean, I'm a big fan of Bogle. What he's done since he's come down here, he's been excellent. But again, I think the game on Saturday against Shrewsbury, like three physical defenders, it maybe suited Ollie to come on, and he did influence the game. And off the bench, it was a good decision by Jackett, yeah. And it made the game safe in the end.
I think it's a great decision. And Sam, something that's been debated time and time again on the show and on Pompey Live as well is the comparison made between Hawkins and Brett Pittman, who, again, we saw on Saturday. Do you know, like me, feel that the partnership that they showed us on Saturday in that second half completely eradicates that argument?
Well, yeah, especially the goal was a great example of it, when Pittman's knocked it down and you don't see it from Hawkins often, but he played a really nice through ball into him, and Pittman ain't going to miss from there. I think since Brett's come back into the side, he's shown a side of his game that I don't think many people thought he had.
No.
He's some of the balls he's playing and the creation in and around the box, it's something we've been lacking.
He seems to come back with a lot of pace as well.
Yeah.
Pace and energy.
Yeah, we just haven't been used to it, have we? So, since he's dropped back, he's been a bit of a revelation. And especially, I wasn't there on Saturday, but when he moved out onto the left-hand side as well, and it seemed to give a bit more like creativity on that wing where we didn't have Curtis on Saturday. So, yeah, it was a good move.
And it's Ollie Hawkins and Brett Pittman who the three of us will be talking about right after break here on Express FM. It's just coming past 6:15, which means it's time for that quick break. But fear not, myself, Sam and James will be right back after to delve further into everything Pompey related, trying to cram it all into one passionate hour of Pompey debate. And we also want to hear from you guys back home, the Pompey fans. We know that there are plenty of you out there, so why not get involved with us this evening? Is the partnership of Ollie Hawkins and Brett Pittman one to continue with until the end of the season? Who's the first name on your Wembley team sheet on Sunday after a third consecutive league win, which saw plenty of standout performers? And are you going to that Checkatrade Trophy final on Sunday? Well, I'll be previewing that game in greater detail on Friday, but we still want you to get in touch. Send us your thoughts and feelings going into it. Who do you like to see play in the game, and also your score predictions for it too? You can begin by texting Express 81400, followed by your name and message. Email pompey@expressfm.com or tweet us at ExpressFM. We're here till 7 p.m. this evening, so be sure to get in contact as soon as possible. Don't go anywhere then. Join us again right after this short break in just a few moments for the Monday Football Hour on ExpressFM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Very good evening and welcome back to Express FM, where myself, Sam Stone and James Catlin are live until 7 p.m. this evening for the Monday Football Hour. Of course, we are sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses, who offer an adult day rider ticket at a discounted price of just £4.10 if you buy via the mobile app, which you can do both on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store on Android. Sam, let's go back to Saturday's game then. Bit of a vague question, but an important one. Who stood out for you throughout that game? For me, it's between Christian Burgess, Brett Pittman. But who was your winner and why?
I mean, I'm going to go back to Ben Close again, because he keeps on popping up with goals.
Yeah.
And he's developing each week. And a lot, he did get a lot of stick from fans, and I think it's a bit unfair, especially given his age and how talented he actually is. And getting on the score sheet again with another... There seems to be a bit of a trademark finish for Ben Close, kind of coming in half volley on the
trademark
of,
celebration
edge of the box, yeah. So yeah, for Ben Close for me, Jack.
It wasn't plain sailing for the Blues in the first half, James, because the Shrews roared their way to an impressive first half performance from then, despite starting the day in 18th. It's quite a battle going on down at the foot of League One, is it? From 12th to, well, way down to 21st, 22nd.
There's like 4 points separates 15th to 22nd at the moment. So like, it's extraordinary like how thin that gap is, and the battle down there at the moment. I wouldn't want to be any of those teams 15th downwards.
It's quite misleading, really, as well, because, I mean, you weren't at the game on Saturday, but no. Shrewsbury, I think, gave Pompey a decent game. Pompey were, you know, on good form to actually see out the game professionally and win the match in the end, but they've got good quality, and all them teams, like you say, with 5 points between 12th and 22nd, it's strange.
Well, I mean, I watched the highlights of the game, and the first 20 minutes, they looked really good. Mm. You know, they got the ball down, they played it well, there was a lot of energy there. But it's not just Shrewsbury, it's all the teams at the bottom. I mean, like even Walsall against Barnsley on Saturday, they looked really good.
Yeah.
You know, and just unfortunate that...
We won't talk about that.
No, it was painful, especially with how unlucky Walsall were. It was just, you knew it was coming as well. And it was just really, it was a kick in the teeth to see.
Yeah.
Because I think, in my opinion, Barnsley, the team, if anyone, will be the one that slips. And I'm just waiting for it to happen. But it's just, they seem to keep riding results out each week.
Yeah. I'm sure if we keep up that momentum like we did 2 years ago, we'll be all right. We'll get into that top two. Go back to the game, though, on Saturday. Jamal Lowe was unfortunate, actually, at 0-0. It was a lovely chip ball to switch a play from right to left from Lee Brown. I don't know if you saw it in my highlights or not, but Jamal, unfortunately, took just a bit of a heavy touch, and the keeper was able to gather it easily. We could have been 1-0 up. But Shrewsbury has some decent chances of their own. And Sam, if it wasn't for Craig McGilvery, who had an absolute blinder, I don't think Pompey would have won that match.
Shrewsbury, as you said, they're a very good side. And last year they got 90-plus points and didn't get promoted in this league. So they were very unfortunate not to be a championship side like last year. But we went there last year and we got dominated 2-0. We didn't look in the game at all. So it shows how far we've come this season, that we've gone there, almost done like what they did to us last season, and we've got the points. So, as you said, any team at the bottom of the division at the moment is going to be scrapping for their lives, and it's going to be a tough game for any team at the top to play them.
You don't want to play any of those teams, really, do you? And speaking of Craig McGilvery, James, how much of a coup has he been? A free at the start of the season, and he's been a great performer.
Yeah, I mean that save on Saturday was, I don't really see something as, in this level as good as that. It was just incredible, and how we got down so quickly. But in a whole, I mean, even at the start of the season, a lot of our goals were coming from McGilvery. Like his initial kick, like he's getting the ball.
We see the Walsall one, but Omar Bogle goal.
He's got his eye on the ball. He's incredible, and getting it up there quickly, he's really good at.
Mm. And a great shot stopper too, Sam, as we just mentioned. But do you think that it was the nature of the game on Saturday against his former club, where I think he had a decent spell out as well, Shrewsbury? I think he's a bit of a fan favourite over there. Do you think that had a bit of an impact into his performance?
Well, yeah, I think he was a bit unfortunate not to get more game time last year. He was a second choice keeper to Dean Henderson, who's now Sheffield United, and they're riding high in the Championship. So he was very unfortunate not to get more game time there. Their fans were gutted to see him go, and he's been one of my signings of the season for me, because a free transfer as well, he's really proven the goods for us, definitely.
Yeah, an important figure in between the sticks, and it may have not been plain sailing for Pompey early on in the first half, but that first goal did come by Penclose.
Here's Pittman laying it off, Brown in the box, Brown shot, saved, loose in the area, close, into the back of the net, and Portsmouth have taken the lead. Ben Close drilling it low and hard and into the net. Portsmouth may not deserve the lead, but they have it. Shrewsbury nil, Portsmouth 1.
And once again, who we know as the Pompey Xavi stepped up to put the Blues ahead. What a finish, Sam.
Yeah, as I said, it's pretty similar to the one against Bradford, when he kind of just strolls onto it, perfect timing, and just caresses it into the net. And I think it was a similar one at Southend where he volleyed it and it went in as well. So, but yeah, it's kind of a trademark from Ben Close now.
And what a season he's having, James. How impressive have you been with his progression, not just over the last month or two, but really over the last few years as a Pompey youth product?
Yeah, I mean, year on year he's getting more and more game time. I feel like he's getting into the game more. He's, as a player, he's developing, he's growing up as well. There was a lot of panic, I think, over Christmas when Ben Thompson left. But I think he steps up and he's really shown how the qualities he's got, and I think he's brought a lot to the team. And if you look at our form recently, we are building up again. I think it's like one loss in eight now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It might be more than that, I think. Yeah, I think it's just week on week, he's getting the goals and he's contributing a lot to the team. And working alongside a player like Tom Naylor as well, with the experience that Tom's got, they're working so well off each other.
Do you think, and I know it's a name that we don't like to bring up too often because we're trying to get over him, but Ben Thompson, do you think that Ben Thompson did have an impact on Ben Close's progression this season? Because I think don't think he's as good as Ben Thompson yet, because he's got a lot of years to grow into that role, but I think he's getting there.
Well, yeah, you have to say, because of Ben Thompson playing in alongside Naylor, Ben Close wasn't getting those opportunities.
No.
And I think I saw a stat on Twitter somewhere. Don't hold me to it, but I think they've had the similar amount of starts, and obviously Ben Close has got only 5 goals, and Thompson only got 2 when he was I know Thompson was obviously he was a fantastic player, one of the best players we've had for many a year. So, but Ben Close has taken his chance, and you have to say he's one of the first names on the team sheet at the moment.
Yeah, I know what stat you're talking about. Ben Thompson, 19 starts for Pompey this season, scored 2 goals. Ben Close, 18 starts, 5 goals.
There you go.
Following Saturday's game. And Yeah, he was a good, I guess, father figure to Ben Close, wasn't he? It's good learning experience for Ben. Again, going back to the game, Sam, I thought we were quite lucky to go into the game or go into half time ahead.
Yeah, well, I wasn't at the game, but my dad was there, and he did tell me that at the start of the game, it just looked like Shrewsbury, it was a matter of time before they scored, and the keeper kept us in it. But you have to think, if the keeper don't make those saves, you know, we're going to be up. It's an uphill task to come back from. And they've got a good home record as well, Shrewsbury, so very lucky to come in at 1-0, but the second half was a lot more dominant, and it seemed to be a kind of typical away performance that we're used to seeing from Kenny Jackett.
And then in the second half, James, Kenny Jackett changed it up a bit. Omar Bogle came off for Ollie Hawkins. Brett Pittman, I think he appeared to move on to the left-hand side. Again, you weren't at the game, but how did you rate that tactical piece? Well, in my opinion, genius from Kenny Jackett, because I think Brett Pittman, as we've mentioned on Pompey Live over the last few games, at Walsall in particular, is not just his work rate going forward, but also coming back and helping out in the midfield and starting those attacks rather than just finishing them. That, in my opinion, that's why he's been thriving so much over the last two or three weeks. How did you rate that?
I think it worked. So obviously, you look at the second half, we dominated, in my opinion. And, you know, if you look at the footballing brain on Pittman when that second goal, like the build up to it from Hawkins and Brett, it was incredible. And with the experience that Brett's got as well, I think he's bringing a bit, he's refreshing that attacking role in the midfield. And it's just going forward, we look dangerous again when we're going forward. But I feel like we went through a bit of a spell where we didn't. But at the moment, every time we go forward, we feel like I'm getting excited again. Like even Jamal at the moment, like obviously Pittman talking aside, even Jamal's starting to come back into form again. He's looking his quick, dangerous self.
Do you think that, I mean, Jamal had a game a few weeks ago, I can't remember exactly what game it was now, but he wasn't starting, you know, he was named on the bench, and I think there was a couple of games after which he had he didn't have a full 90 minutes. Do you think that bit of rest that he's had, and even with Ronan Curtis, he's had a bit of a rest as well at some stage between, you know, now and beginning of February, do you think that's helped them? You know, I know you like to play as many games as you can, and the more experience you get, the more game time, the fresher you are. But sometimes the rest is needed.
It is. I totally agree. I mean, if you look for Ronan as an example, he's been playing for Ireland. You know, we've had the FA Cup run, we've had the Checkatrade Trophy run. They've been playing on average two games a week. And even someone like Ronan, who's only 22 years old, his first break, let's say, in a season in this league, you know, they're going to get tired. You know, no matter how fit you are, if you're playing two games a week, train 3 days a week, there's going to be a point where your legs are going to start to tire.
Yeah.
And I think with Ron having, obviously with his injury, and Jamal having a few games starting, I think it's refreshed them slightly. And going forward, the pace that Jamal and Ronan have got together is just, it's electric. I can't think of many players in this league that when they're fully fit, could keep up with them. And I feel like just over time, they did tire a little bit. Teams started to prey on that a little bit. And they started to realise how we played and realise that Jamal and Rowan are tiring a little bit. But I think the two of them having a little break. Obviously, Viv's had a run out. Obviously, Pittman's been playing now.
Yeah.
It's just Evans has been playing out as well. It's just good for them to get a little break, and they are looking refreshed.
Yeah. That concludes the second part of the Monday Football Hours this evening. Then don't forget you can get in contact with us as well. 81400 is the number to text, or you can email us pompey@expressfm.com, or you can find us on Twitter at expressfm as well. Tonight we're asking for all of your opinions, bit your thoughts on Saturday's win over Shrewsbury. Who was your man of the match? Do you think that the Ollie Hawkins Brett Pittman partnership should stick for the duration of the season? And who makes the starting lineup for Sunday's big final at Wembley? Sunderland await the Blues at the National Stadium for the Checkatrade Trophy final, and over 40,000 of you excellent Blues fans will be there in support, and it's set to be an intense atmosphere and occasion, with the opposition, Sunderland, of course, having sold out their allocation, just under 40,000 tickets. We'll be back on Friday with a bumper look ahead to that game, and we'll also be looking ahead of it at the end of tonight's show too, so be sure to join me, Sam and James after the next break here on the Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you safely this season by Stagecoach Buses. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap and reliable journeys in and out of the Portsmouth City and across the entirety of the South Coast too. We've only got around 25 minutes of the show remaining this evening, so if you haven't got your views across to us yet, then now is a great time to do just that. We want all of your thoughts and reaction to Saturday's 2-0 win at Shrewsbury. Who was your stand-up performer from the game? We also want to know whether or not you have faith in Pompey succeeding this season, especially with the prospect of Ollie Hawkins and Brett Pittman partnering one another up top. And who's your first name on the Wembley team sheet for Sunday? What are your predictions for that final against Sunderland? And we also want to know whether or not you believe Pompey will still gain automatic promotion to the Championship this season. But before we get into any of those, however, let's take a look ahead to the next fixture for the Pompey women. The Pompey women fell short to a 3-0 defeat to high-flying Cardiff City on Sunday, but Jay Sadler and his side will be looking to quickly put those miseries aside when they host Chichester City at the PMC Stadium on Wednesday evening. This game sees 8th place Pompey go up against the side in 2nd, Chichester, who have former Blue Tash Stevens in their ranks. You may remember Tash from hosting the Friday Football Hour earlier this month on International Women's Day. Kick off for this one at the home of Baffin's Milton Rovers off the Easter Road, of course, is 7:45 p.m. The visitors come into the game off the back of the weekend without a game, so will most likely have the advantage of being more energised than the Blues, who suffered a home defeat, as we mentioned, Cardiff City, and they overtook the Chai in the table after that 3-0 victory on Sunday. The two sides have met twice already this season, and both times Jay Sadler's side have been on the wrong end of a 4-2 and a 2-1 scoreline respectively. While there are two players who have swapped Chichester Green for Pompey Blue so far this campaign, Jade Widows and Alex Colligan are both set to face their former club on Wednesday evening. It's the start of a busy period of fixtures for the Blues, with 7 games in 21 days for the women. Ticket prices are £5 for adults and £2 for under-18s and 63s and overs. There's also a matchday magazine on sale for the bargain price of a quid. So back to the chat then with Pompey. As we mentioned there, the Pompey women in action Wednesday evening at the PMC Stadium along the Eastern Road, 7:45 kick-off against Chichester City. OK, we're going to go back to Saturday's game against Shrewsbury, and we were speaking before the break about the impact that Brett Pittman's had on the team as well. He came on, Sam, he made that impact, he partnered Jamal Lowe up front. But do you think it could be harsh on Omar Bogle? We mentioned his goal-scoring record early on in his career at Pompey. Do you think it could be a little bit harsh if he doesn't get a look in this final stage of the season?
Yeah, I do think it'll be harsh. I think it's a positive for us to be looking at it with the options we've got up front now. Bogle against Walsall the other Tuesday, he was such a handful for their centre-halves. And since he's been here, he's actually looked like he's given us something we haven't had, a bit of pace in behind as well as a physical presence up front. But, I mean, he's struggled to get through games, so that could be an issue. Maybe coming off the bench on Sunday afternoon might be an option. But then again, I do feel it would be harsh on him if he didn't really get a look at, especially at Wembley, a big pitch. Going to be lots of space in behind for him to expose. So it'll be interesting to see what Jacket goes for.
And speaking of Brett Pittman, he obviously doubled the lead for Pompey against Shrewsbury on Saturday. Here's that goal again.
Pittman picks it up. Hawkins is going to drive into the area. Hawkins to Pittman. Pittman to win it. Pittman does just that. 2-0 to Portsmouth. Shrewsbury have shot themselves in the foot.
And I think that just about rounds off Saturday's game. Brett Pittman slotting home to make it 2-0 to the Blues and really seal the 3 points at Shrewsbury. And something we haven't mentioned this evening, gents, is the defence. I think we went 18 games since December the 8th when we beat Southend 2-0 at Fratton Park in the league. We went 18 games, and in that time in the league, we only had one clean sheet. But do you feel, Sam, that it's tightened up a lot since those days? I mean, you know, it's 2 games in a row now, 2-0 against Scunthorpe, 2-0 against Shrewsbury. But really, you know, we've kept clean sheet and we've looked solid at the back.
Yeah, well, it's been tough since Watmore got injured as well. There's been a bit of reshuffling going on. There seems to be a bit more steel at the back that we had at the start of the season up until Christmas, and we were kind of, that was what we were basing our positive results on. It was kind of hard to put a finger on what was happening defensively, but it seems to be reminding me of a lot of what we were doing first half of the season and kind of getting back to that. If you can build off that, you know, we've got the players at the other end of the pitch who are going to get goals for us. So
I'm impressed with Christian Burgess, James. I mentioned earlier, I think he was one of my man of the match on Saturday against Shrewsbury, but I think he's been solid in the absence, as Sam said, of Jack Watmore.
Yeah, he's filled in quite well. Initially, I think there was a few people worried a little bit, but to be honest, he stood up. He's taken a lot of criticism. I think he's handled it absolutely professionally, and since he's come in, even the back four for me looks a little bit refreshed now. You know, he made a mistake, you know, on his first game. It was against, was it when Jack
Doncaster when it went through? I can't remember,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
But since then, I feel like he's stepped up. And yeah. I think he's done quite well. Even obviously playing alongside Matt Clark as well, I think it's helped him quite.
Yeah.
Where Matt's still quite young, but Matt, I think for his age, is quite experienced.
Yeah.
Got games
behind
him. He knows this league quite well as well. And the two of them at the moment, they're looking quite sharp at the back, and obviously with McGilvery in goal as well, it's our back four is starting to look good again.
Yeah. And back to the text, tweets and emails then, and back on the subject of Brett Pittman. Ryan Steelwell on Facebook, he says, "Turns out this Pittman or Hawkins debate we've had all season was all wrong. We should have just stuck the two together and let them run riot." To which Trevor Stutz replies, "Shocking that Pittman was left out for so long after Christmas." And Phil Godfrey agrees. He says, "It was a travesty that Brett has not been the first choice regular. We'd have had the championship in the bag by now had he played all season." And as we mentioned, it looked a few weeks ago that Brett Pittman was a forgotten man at Fratton Park, but now appearing to be one of the standout performers on the pitch over the last few weeks. Stuart on Twitter, a good point from him, a tweet I've just seen on my timeline, not necessarily into us this evening, but he says, "We were 23rd in League 2 this time 5 years ago. We've come such a long way in that time." And we have, haven't we, James?
Yeah.
In that 5 years.
You know, not just on the pitch, off the pitch as well. You know, we've developed as a club and as a team. We've developed. It's, you know, where even at the moment where we are on the table, you know, it just says how far we've come. Mm. I mean, it was only 5 years ago you looked at the table and I think we were cheering on Wimbledon to beat, I think it was like Wimbledon to beat Lincoln to keep us out of the relegation zone on goal difference. And now, you know, we're going to Wembley on Sunday. You know, it's the checkered trade, but it's a day out for everyone.
But we have 40,000 Pompey fans.
40,000 Pompey fans going. It's incredible, you know. It's going to be a sellout, a record attendance for the Chequer trade, and we have come such a long way.
Yeah. Some texts coming in. Stephen Fratton, he says, "Good evening. I was just wondering if you guys know if there are any plans to do anything on Sunday for the Chequer Trade Trophy final. Maybe put up a big screen on Southsea Common, for example. I think that'd be a great way for those to us who are not going to Wembley to get together and watch what should be a fantastic final." From Stephen Fratton. I'm not sure there is anything happening in particular for that, but of course you can listen to Pompey Live. That's from midday on Sunday, so stick on the telly, watch it. Well, I don't think the coverage for that actually starts at 2:15 on the telly. It kicks off at 2:30, so no, join myself, Liam Howes, Adam Knight from 12 o'clock midday on Sunday. If you're not headed into the match, that will be your main source to get all the coverage of that final. Mike T in Southsea, he says, "Hi guys, I thought Kenny Jackett has his finger right on the pulse of the game at New Meadow, and he made a crucial and very influential formation change that had an immediate impact and really threw those shrews what he did, and when he did it, he won us the game. A quality direction against tough opposition. Craig and goal got my vote for man of the match." Mike T in Southsea. And Carol and Hayling says, "Why aren't Sunderland playing some of their extra games? Surely not all of their players are on international duty. Very unfair on other teams fighting for promotion." I think the answer for that is the rule. If you've got three or more international players, you're allowed to apply to have your games rearranged. And I think from a Sunderland's point of view, they'd rather not play those games. And, you know, I think they'd rather have that congested fixture comes the end of the season.
He is looking congested towards the end of the season.
You've got four games in 2 weeks.
I suppose that's how you balance it out, though, isn't it? You either go a few games without some of your star players, or you have a bit of that congested fixture come the end of the season. James, I believe there's something you want to do now, isn't there? You've noticed the whiteboard in the corner of our room in the studio. The Keepy Uppy Challenge, which normally James does on a Thursday with the Pompey players. You were eyeing it up earlier. You found the ball, and you want to do it.
I see Nathan's at the bottom there with 27. I think if I started doing the keepy up, he's after a little practice run in the corner, I think I'd be bottom by about 20.
Oh, show us.
I think I'm going to give the keepy up ones a miss.
You're going to give it a miss?
I'm going to give it a miss.
No
way I can do that.
I had all.
I'm going to try and see a corner.
You're going to try it? You're going to try it. Right, okay. Don't start until I say go, because, you know, it's cheating. Right, I'm going to keep hold of the time. Sam, you're going to be my adjudicator. Can you count for me? Right, you have a minute. You have three chances. If you drop the ball, you have to start again. Not the minute, but, you know, you have to do keep it up as again. Okay. Sam, if he drops the ball, start your counting again, and we will record your best score. We won't add them up. We'll record your best score, okay? Are you ready, James?
No, not really.
Not really. Well, okay, sure. That's good enough. Sam, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, good. 3, 2, 1, let's go. And that's the ball dropped already. You on a second attempt.
3, 4, 5.
Gets the ball, gets the door. Oh, he's got 5. That's a better attempt than 4. One more attempt now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh. He got 8 and he's nearly knocked the laptop off of the desk. I think that's over for you, James. 15 seconds. 3 attempts in 15 seconds. And his best score, Sam, was it?
8.
8. Not bad. So let's look at the leaderboard then. Matt Clark, top 179. Jamal Lowe, 151.
I'll question some of those up there. 179 in a minute.
Yeah, that's 3 KPRPs a second. Don't knock it. Nathan Thompson, bottom of the leaderboard with 27. I think it's time to stick your name up there, James. You've replaced Nathan Thompson at the bottom there. 8. Good effort. Good effort. We're going to move on from that because that was dreadful. An email from Martin Carstairs. He says, once we scored against Shrewsbury, we played much better. The fans were superb, but it was Pittman again. Man of the match for me was McGilvery. Bring on Wembley. Graham Wilkins says, a great win on Saturday and keeping on the tails of the front two, and 3 wins in a row without Ronan Curtis in the team. So when Ronan's fit again, does he come straight back into the first 11? Looking forward to seeing the Blues this Sunday, and although Sunderland may be fresher as they haven't played for 2 weeks, I believe the Blues will have more momentum having played week in, week out. Also, I'll be inclined to keep the same team. Brown was my man of the match from Saturday, especially with that covering tackle in the first half, and Ronan Curtis and the team lineup on Sunday will be something we'll be looking ahead to in the next part on the Monday Football Hour on Express FM. So don't go far, because we're right next for the next 12 minutes or so here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the fourth and final part of this Monday Football Hour right here on Express FM, driven to you safely by Stagecoach Buses. Back to the chat then, and a little look ahead to Sunday's Checkatrade Trophy final between Pompey and Sunderland at Wembley Stadium. And I posed the question at the start of the show, gents, as to who you believe should be playing in that final. We've had some responses already, and here they are. Both on Twitter. We'll start with Paul, who writes, Craig McGilvery or Alex Bass should be the first name on the team sheet for Wembley on Sunday, unless we're playing without a keeper. What a shame, though, for whoever has to miss out when Ronan Curtis returns, and who plays up front, Omar or Ollie, or I think indeed maybe Brett Pittman, Paul. And back to that answer, Paul, I think you know exactly what I meant. You know, I know Craig McGilvery or Alex Bass will be the first name on the team. Actually, no, I'm going to change that. Kenny Jackett will be first name on team sheet, because if you look at it, Kenny Jackett's name appears before the goalkeeper, so I'm going to squash that theory of yours, Paul. But no, you asked a good question, Sam. Who plays up front on Sunday? A bit of a dilemma now, because we've mentioned Ollie and his contributions to the team throughout the season. We've mentioned Omar Bogle. He's got a decent goal scoring record since coming on loan, and now Brett Pittman has come back into the frame. 3 strikers, and really, we've only been playing with one up front. What do we do?
I think
I'm glad I'm not the manager.
Yeah, I mean, on Saturday against Shrewsbury, the game kind of suited Ollie for when he came on. You get the pitch, the players they were up against. But then I'm kind of inclined to think maybe Omar gets a go, because he's been playing so well, and at Wembley it's a big wide pitch. He could really exploit them in behind their 2 centre halves. But then you have to go back again to the Sunderland game at home, because Ollie bullied their 2 centre halves, and he won the penalty, didn't he, and got their players sent off, and which arguably won us the game. So it's going to be a really interesting one. I think it's a good like problem to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, personally, I'd like to see Omar carry on, because he's been in great form since he's come down to us. He looks a really exciting player. So,
And he mentions Ronan Curtis in his tweet, James. We're still not sure as to whether or not he'll be fit for the game, but we do know that he is expected to return to training this week, probably on Wednesday morning. And that'd be quite early in terms of when we're actually expecting to see him in action, because it's only been 2 weeks since that injury. Can you see him putting himself together to get a fit and fighting for a place? He's got the attitude for it.
He's got the attitude, yeah. You know, I've never met anyone so as ambitious and as hungry to succeed as Ronan. You know, if there's any chance he can play, he'll be begging to get on the pitch. And and to give everything he's got. In terms of starting, I'm with you on this one. I'd like, you know, you look back to where we first come from. You know, who do you start with? You go back as far as, like, when we was in the group stage, like, well, Matt Casey playing quite a bit, and Hadji played a few games as well, didn't he? And, you know, and the further we're getting, you know, do you...
It's more bleeding out to be our first team as opposed to...
Yeah, and I think we need to go for our first team. You know, we've picked up a bit of form, and you want to build consistency now. You know, you don't want to put a few first-team players in, a few of the younger players in. We lose a game, then you, that momentum that we've worked so hard to start building them up again, you don't want it, you don't want to lose that consistency.
Yeah.
Because when you start winning games, it's... You keep winning.
It's contagious, I think the opposition needs to be taken into account as well, because Sunderland are going to be a direct rival for promotion, and I wouldn't be surprised if we end up playing at Wembley again in May. Yeah. So we've got, I think if we can play our strongest team, get a win against them at Wembley, I think that's a huge psychological boost.
We mentioned in the ad break earlier, Sam, that we could be playing Sunderland five times this season, you know, the home and away, you know, legs in the league, the Checkatrade Trophy final, and, you know, depending on where, you know, where either team either finish in the league, maybe even semi-finals of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I suppose, I mean, we've only played him once so far, and we're playing against Sunday, but we've beat them this season. We can do it.
Yeah.
They may be, you know, the big boys in the league. They may have only lost two games all season, but we can beat them on our day.
Yeah, I personally, after watching every team play this season, I don't feel they're up the levels of Luton and Barnsley.
No,
those two are the runaway teams for me, and quite clear by the league table at the moment. I feel that Sunderland, you know, they've got some quality players, and their squads, that their fans go on about it, their squad is good enough to go up. Whether it would stay in the Championship would be interesting, but we've just got a. I think the psychological boost of beating them already this season, if we can get another win over them at Wembley, I think that would be massive in get a bit of momentum, carry on this good form towards the playoffs.
James mentioned previously, Sam, about Ronan Curtis and, you know, the attitude and the passion he shows, and I suppose it's admirable really, and good to have in a team someone who wants to play every single game, because he didn't want to miss that Walsall game.
No,
there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people giving him a stick on social media. Oh, he's got a bruised finger, he can't play a game, he doesn't need your hand. But actually, you look at that injury, it was gruesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can completely understand it, why he wasn't playing. But as James has said, the if Ronan is fit, I'm sure he will be banging on Kenny's door to get in that team. And I'm sure if he is not playing and he is fit, he will not be happy. Let's just say that. So, but then again, it's another great option to come off the bench if needed, to change the game. And he's dynamic. He can get something out of nothing from Ronan. So it'll be a good option to have on the bench. But even if he starts as well, I'm sure it'll be a good impact for us if he starts as well. So
And a great tweet, James, which I saw after the game on Saturday, from Neil Allen from the Portsmouth News. He says, well, he summed up the game really. Once Jacket made first half tactical change, Pompey far more effective. Burgess immense, hence the home fans singing songs about his appearance. Not Omar Bogle's day, but Hawkins had a big impact when he introduced. Couple of great saves from McGilvery on his Shrewsbury return. But the piece I want to highlight from that is the ending. Momentum is back. And you mentioned again a few minutes ago about the momentum now. Pompey, three wins in a row in the league. We've got seven games left. Big final on Sunday as well. Do you feel that we've got the more momentum as opposed to other teams in the division? Okay, maybe Luton, they're running away with it. Over 20 games unbeaten now. But can you kind of refer back to that season 2 years ago, where we had that momentum in the last 10 games or so and just went on a storm?
If you look back, I mean, up until we won, I think it's like 7 of our last 10 when we won the league, we won. And up until then, we could never win 3 or 4 games.
No,
more
yeah.
We'd always win 2.
That's a really good point,
we're going on a run, we're going on a run. And then we draw 2, so we've got win 2, draw 1, win 1, draw 2. And obviously then we had that season when we did the last 10 games, we just absolutely, we hit form.
Well, the last 8 games, we won 7, drew 1.
Yeah.
And we've already won 3 in a row.
You know, and if we can pick up that momentum again, keep going, the determination's there, the hunger's there in the team to do it, then I can't see why we can't do it again.
No.
But as you said, you know, like Barnsley and Luton are the two teams, in my eyes, that...
And Kenny Jackett has said in the press this week that he wants 90 points to achieve automatic promotion. John Hooper says it's going to be a hard task to achieve 90 points, and even then, that isn't likely to be enough. Maximum points would give us best chance of top two, but that is an even harder task. Until automatic promotion becomes impossible, we have to keep believing, though. And a quick one on Twitter, Luke Ellis, Sunday's team, McGilvery, Thompson, Clark, Burgess and Brown, Naylor, Close, Curtis, Lowe, Pittman, with Bogle up top. And at some point, Anton Walkes, Gareth Evans and Ollie Hawkins to come on. Kenny Jackett will show loyalty to these guys as he has called upon them most of the season. And a couple of score predictions coming in for Sunday's final. Jack Hancock on the emails, he says, would love to see a 4-0 whitewash, but I reckon it'll be 2-1 to either side. Well, hopefully, Jack, it'll be 2-1 to Pompey. Let's get your predictions. James, you go first. Prediction for Sunday's final.
I don't know, I think we've hit a bit of form at the moment. You know, Sunderland have got a decent team all over. You know, they've got Jack Baldwin in there, Ada McGeady's picked up form, Will Grigg. But I think we're going to nick it 1-0, Ollie Hawkins.
And a quick prediction from you, Sam?
I'm going to go 3-1, Brett Pittman to get on the score sheet.
3-1, Brett Pittman. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Sam Stone. Thanks for joining us in the studio again. Thanks again, thanks as well to James Catlin. My gratitude to you, my friend. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win at Wembley on Sunday. There we have it then. That concludes another episode of the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. I'd like to thank once again Sam Stone, James Catlin, who helped make this show tonight possible with their hour of blues debate and opinions. And I can't leave this evening without also thanking you at home, the magnificent blues fans and listeners to the show. And a big thanks to everyone who got in touch with us tonight as well. After the news, Liz Beckett returns with a shout. The award-winning show comes live after 7 this evening, and then non-stop music from 8 p.m. and throughout the night here on Express FM. Local singer Amy Baker joins Mason Jordan on the Portsmouth Breakfast Show tomorrow morning. You can catch Mason from 6 a.m. through to 10 o'clock when Darren Gamblin takes over. There's no midweek Pompey Live this week, unfortunately. The team have a week off, but rest assured, your football fix continues on Wednesday with Henry Deacon over the White Lions from 7 p.m. James Robbins is back in this seat on Thursday for the player special of the Football Hour. And then it's the big one. I'll be previewing Sunday's Checkatrade Trophy final in a jam-packed edition of the Friday Football Hour. Myself, Adam Hillier, John Hooper from 6 p.m. on Friday. Myself, Liam Howes, my legend Alan Knight will return for Pompey Live from Wembley Way, midday on Sunday for an extended build-up of Pompey versus Sunderland. You can come and join us on Wembley Way if you're going to a game, or if you're listening back home, we're on from midday lunchtime for all that build-up. Kick off that one, 2:30. Have a good week, have an even better evening. All that leaves me to say is play up Pompey.